Do you know how the Old Testament ends? Well, you probably know how the Old Testament begins. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth. But how does the Old Testament end? You might perhaps remember how the New Testament ends in the book of Revelation. It ends like this. The one who gives this testimony says, I am coming soon. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. But how does the Old Testament end? I have to honestly admit that a week ago, if I was your phone-a-friend on this question, I'm embarrassed to say that I would not have been any help to you. The last book of the Old Testament is the prophet Malachi. Good. And here are the very last two verses of the book of the prophet Malachi, chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes, and he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the land with a curse. And that's how the Old Testament ends. The last word of the Old Testament is anathema, a curse. And we would still be under a curse if it weren't for the last words of the New Testament, if it weren't for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, to which we say amen. Amen. The Old Testament book of Sirach says the exact same thing as Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Let's take a look at Sirach chapter 48, verse 10. We read it this past week on Thursday morning at Mass. It says this, Elijah, you are destined, it is written, in time to come, to put an end to the wrath before the day of the Lord, to turn back the hearts of fathers toward their children, toward their sons. Now, not surprisingly, the New Testament begins in the exact same way as the Old Testament ended, right? In St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 17, the archangel Gabriel mentions these two passages from Malachi in Sirach to Zechariah when St. Gabriel tells Zechariah that his son, St. John the Baptist, is going to be the new Elijah. Here's that passage. And John will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of fathers toward their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now, I think it's worth noting that none of these three passages, Malachi 4, 5 to 6, Sirach 48, 10, or Luke 1, 17, none of these three passages are ever, ever, ever read on a Sunday. But they must be pretty important. If that's how the Old Testament ends, and if that's how the New Testament begins, they must be pretty important because of all the 46 books of the Old Testament that the archangel Gabriel could have used when talking to Zechariah. The inspired words he chose were, I will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers. Even though we never, ever hear these words proclaimed on a Sunday morning, don't you think these words are worth reflecting upon today, on this Father's Day in the United States of America during this year of mercy. Because before the Lord comes again in glory to judge the living and the dead at the end of the world, he wants to turn the hearts of fathers to their children, and the hearts of children to their fathers. To turn. The Latin word there is convertimi. We get the English word convert. To turn is the biblical image for a turning toward what is virtuous, what is true, what is good, what is beautiful. It is a turning away from sin and a turning toward virtue. And so this is very important, it seems to me, because the Bible is clear that before the Lord comes, what is he looking for? He's looking for reconciliation, particularly between dads and their kids. When the Lord comes, he's looking particularly for this turning toward one another in mercy and forgiveness and reconciliation. So thanks be to God for all of those holy fathers whose hearts are turned toward their children, whose hearts are not consumed by their work, whose hearts aren't consumed by their own selfish pleasures. Thanks be to God for holy fathers whose hearts are turned toward really listening to their kids, whose hearts are turned toward the spiritual needs of their children's souls, whose hearts are attuned to saving their children's souls, whose hearts are turned toward helping their kids become saints. On this Father's Day weekend, our hearts are turned toward our dads. And thanks be to God for those children who have turned their hearts toward their fathers out of respect, in obedience, and in love. And on this Father's Day in the United States of America, we turn our hearts in respect, obedience, and love toward our Heavenly Father, who Jesus says we can call Abba, which means Daddy, who is so merciful, so kind, and compassionate. Our merciful, loving Father is always turned toward us. But sadly, we have to admit that because of our own sin and pride, our hearts are not always turned toward Him. But this is the answer to the problems in today's world. The answer to our problems is that not everyone on this planet has turned their hearts toward God the Father. And lest we point the finger at somebody else, remember what G.K. Chesterton said. G.K. Chesterton asked, "What's wrong with the world?" And he answered, he said, "I'm what's wrong with the world." Yeah, what's wrong with the world? Me. I'm what's wrong with the world. Because my heart is not totally turned toward our loving and merciful Father. Oh, on this Father's Day weekend, let us pray with Psalm 80, verse 19. Lord, make us turn to you. Let us see your face, and we shall be saved. Oh, Father, turn the hearts of all fathers to their children, and the hearts of children toward their fathers, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord.